You're listening to Higher Ed Social, episode number 40. I'm Jackie.
And I'm Logan. And this week we brought back Dustin Ramsdell from episode 12. If you want to see his job title and all that kind of fun stuff, you can go back and look at that episode. But we chatted about podcasting. That was a big thing. But we talked about a whole lot of other things too. We talked about what it's like to live in a small town in Maine. We also talked about food. And of course, I had to nerd out about ramen because, you know, that's what I do.
As always, we talked about random things. The whole point of this show was actually brought up by Dustin to us, looking for some feedback on his podcast and talking about where both of our podcasts are going in the future. But naturally, we didn't do that. We geeked out about a lot of things. I sat in the corner as Logan and Dustin talked about Star Wars and Star Trek. But we also talked about the future and our rendition of the future. But we do talk a little bit about podcasting in there too. So we hope you enjoy this fairly random episode of Higher Ed Social.
That just made me think of, like, there's a bunch of craft breweries up here in Maine. That's like that's been a nice part about being here.
Oh, that's cool.
Because we just actually.
Have you been in Maine? How long were you there?
I moved up here July of last year. So it's been a little over a year, and that's been one of the nice things. Like, I just went out with my partner on Saturday night. Just went out to a couple of different bars and just were having nice local beers and. Very nice. Yeah,
we don't have that really in Albany. We have like one brewery. No, we have two that I know of off the top of my head.
We have too many.
At least one of them.
Have I what?
I was gonna say, like, if you like at least one of them or something.
Just one,
like,
of them is decent. The other one's all right, I guess. I don't know. They have good food menus at their breweries.
As Jackie can attest, there's too many places in Nashville.
Oh, right.
And then by the time you figure out where you want to go, it's like an hour later and you're just like, I don't want to go anywhere.
Yeah.
No, Nashville's good for eating and drinking.
Yeah, it is. It is. Though my ramen place is not open yet.
No, I'm sorry.
But they're hiring now, so that means they're going to open soon.
Yeah.
Are you going to get a job there?
Well, a friend of mine.
Moonlight. Okay.
So a friend of mine, Clark, he actually does a podcast too. He's actually a very good podcaster, actually. He does kind of trades, right? So some of the restaurants around the city, he'll do their social media or build them a website. And the trade is he gets to eat there for free.
Oh, that's such a good trade.
I know, right?
I'm down for that.
And he's pretty good. Like, yeah. It's funny because he'll like, we had a mayoral debates and he joined in on the mayoral debates. Using like the Mexican restaurant next to the university's account. And it was Nash Forward was the hashtag, and he would tag everything with queso forward and make queso jokes the whole time.
That's hilarious.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
I wonder, like, just equating like a dollar value to, like, I don't know, like, what span of time, or if it's like in perpetuity, being able to like eat at a place for free. Like, that's like, it's a solid.
I don't know. A ramen shop where it's like $12 a bowl, that adds up real fast. Especially if it ate there like three times a week.
Right. Yeah. Which I could totally do. You could milk it, you know, you could like make sure you get all the ramen you could eat, you know.
I love my ramen.
Now I want to go get ramen.
See, Jackie's had my ramen, and it's the best ramen ever. It's a taku ramen
ever.
It's amazing. Just legendary. Amazing.
Watching Logan eat said ramen is hilarious, I will say. Because Logan's like, isn't this great? It's so good. I just love it so much.
Slurp, slurp, slurp.
Love it. And let's go get six more bowls. Sure, yeah. Logan. What do you say?
That's a lot of ramen.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I will say that's been disappointing, because I came up here kind of straight away from kind of north central New Jersey, which had a very diverse population, a lot of different places to eat. And then the only kind of downside to Maine is that it like does not have a lot of diversity of food and stuff. And they just got like a noodle bar in like the year that I've been here, which is not bad.
It's
also like none of the places I feel like have like that competition to like make them be better and be really good and stuff. It's just like, well, we're the only noodle bar in town.
We're the best noodle bar in town.
Yep.
Well, see, our ramen place, well, it's not the only ramen place anymore, but she did a lot of hard work. Like they started out as kind of a roaming pop-up. Mm. So on like days that other restaurants were closed, those restaurants would let her use the kitchen and they'd do that. And then she made a pop-up restaurant called Pop. And it lived there for a few years, where it was like a permanent home, but they only served on certain days, and other days it was another restaurant. And now they're going to serve every day, you know, from X time to whatever time. And they're down in the Gulch, which is like one of the trendy neighborhoods. So
nice.
Yeah. I'm super excited because it's right near campus, so I can just hop in my car. I could walk there, but it's a little too far for lunchtime, but it's about a mile and a half from campus, so it's really nice. Parking's free for the first hour, so
perfect. That's perfect. What I miss too also is like being in a place where I could walk to other places. Like I'm just like on a little island of a campus, which is not like I can walk to anywhere I need on campus, but
that's the beauty of an urban campus is there's places. Like we have two Jenny's ice creams like within like half a mile of campus, which is really weird, but they both have lines going out the door.
Let's just do it again.
I'll just put another one right here.
I always joke in my head whenever I see stuff like that where they're like two of the same thing very close to each other. It's just like you get ice cream on your way to get ice cream sort of things. Like I just need a little, like little nosh just
let's
to hold
just pick over it up. Or if you want to like try different flavors, you
get
except for that whole Listeria thing. Jenny's is awesome.
I don't have anything fun like that in Albany.
You have the ramen diner.
Yeah, so there's a diner that was obviously a diner, very small diner, maybe five tables. Diner turned into pizza shop, now turned into ramen place.
And the ramen's okay. I'd put it like a 6 out of 10.
It's a very sad town.
I always love that when places like just kind of obviously go where something else was, but don't do anything to
They haven't changed any of it. And like this still looks like the pizza place. Like it's terrible.
Like, the clock is a pizza, man. Come on. Just like change the clock.
Switch it?
They had Japanese characters on the menus. I mean,
did all that they could, you know. Like, it's like a load bearing pizza clock on the wall. They can't move it.
It smells like pepperoni in here.
Yeah.
I think one of my new favorite places is a place that I took Jackie that is like seriously, it was 210 Jack.
Oh, that was very good.
It's based off of a kind of a Japanese tavern. So it has ramen and a bunch of other things, but it has the atmosphere. The atmosphere is amazing in there.
It's pretty cool.
And it's kid friendly.
There you go.
Something that I don't care about right now in my life.
I do.
Did you see the recent oatmeal article that's like floating around Facebook?
No.
It's a cat, like why, what's it called? It's like why you should have a cat versus a baby or something like that. So they compare cats to babies.
I have both.
You win. You got it.
I guess. It's just having a baby versus having a cat. Mm. And basically it's like cats, it basically summarizes it, which I will read the summary. Basically that, where is it? Cats are demanding enough to fulfill your need to care for a living thing, but not demanding enough to ruin your life.
Hmm. Well, luckily.
Go cat.
I will mention this, speaking of cats not ruining your lives. So you remember Stuart, everyone? You know, the cute little kitten.
I don't think Dustin met Stuart.
You never met Stuart. Stuart's the newest addition.
Speaking of, there's a cat right behind you.
Oh, that's Kaylee.
It's Kaylee.
But Stuart's a little bitty kitten. He almost got ran over by my boss, and my boss brought him to work knowing that I would take him. He was like 3 weeks old. Like he was little bitty thing. Now he's like, he was like less than a pound when we got him. Now he's like he's almost 5 pounds. So he's he's getting bigger. So 2 weeks ago, like right after Jackie left, he started closing his eye. And he kept it closed for a few days. And turns out he got in a fight with one of the other kittens, and they scratched his cornea rather severely.
That's so sad.
Yes, so I make a joke that he's a pirate cat. But by the way, he's that's very expensive. So cats can be very expensive.
Right, well, when you have seven of them, likelihood of that happening increases. Casey is just fat and just sits.
That's true.
She's not at risk for a scratched cornea.
But that's the thing. She runs into things. Yeah.
She doesn't.
Sure she does.
Sometimes she can't even get up on the bed. She literally cannot jump onto the bed.
She just falls off and hits a corner. Because she's so fat, like a potato.
This is like a slam.
Imagine a potato trying to climb up the side of a bed, and that is Jackie's cat.
Next time she tries to come up, I'll like swivel the laptop. She like you just see her like perch her. It's not even that high. It's maybe 3 feet off the ground. My bed, like it's not that high. And
I've watched her climb things, like climbing cats. The couch or something. It's like where most cats just kind of like hop up there. Like my cats like hop up on like a like 5 foot like shelf they can jump up on.
No way.
Jackie's cat can't jump on like a 2 foot like couch. Like she has to literally claw her way up.
She like pulls herself up. But I'm very lucky because like I think most cat owners have to get nervous about like, oh, like my oven's on, you know, my stove is on, like I'm nervous my cat's gonna jump up onto the stove and like burn himself. Or like I have like a straightening iron, like, you know, what if my cat jumped up on that? Or like if there's a candle or water or whatever. Casey cannot jump on anything. So like everything.
She can't run either. She can't run. So there's no chance.
I've seen her run.
I've never seen her run. I've seen her like waddle fast.
She runs.
This cat's really getting into this conversation, man.
Casey's great. She's a great cat and I love her very much. I don't know where she is right now.
But anyway, Stuart probably isn't going to have a scar. It looks like it's going to heal all the way. But if he does, it'll be like this cool like battle scar like going right over his eye. It's real awesome.
I feel so bad.
Oh, he doesn't care. He attacked my foot a few minutes ago.
I didn't even think about that.
It hasn't fazed him.
That's good, though.
Like, being like empathetic people and having pets sometimes means large veterinary bills. like, there's this thing wrong, and you're like, fix it. I can't know that my dog is suffering or something.
Yeah, oh my god.
That's rough. Oh
my god.
Injuries can go south really fast. Yeah. If it was like anything else, I probably wouldn't care so much, but if those get infected, that could kill. So
game over. Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Good call. Glad the guy, like, you know, he's making a full recovery there.
He's good. Sorry, what's up, Dustin? We're talking about nothing.
By the way, we're on the show with Dustin, but you probably already heard that.
Yeah, we've chatted with Dustin before, and he was, I forgot what episode number, but we had a good show. And Dustin also, if you hadn't listened to that episode, also has a podcast. And Dustin reached out to us and was like, we need to powwow about podcasts. And I said, Logan, we need a guest this week. And so it worked out. So
and you're probably going, of course you needed a guest this week. We haven't heard from you for 3 weeks.
We're still here, guys.
Actually, 2 weeks. We did a Hyatt Web episode. And, you know, life's been busy.
It has been.
There's a lot that's happened that I'm sure we'll talk about at some point, but we're not going to talk about it today.
Yeah. Life happens. It's you know, just keep on keeping on, guys.
A lot of it was Stuart. a lot of it was Jackie coming here and beating the Titans.
To watch the Bills win.
Watching the sports ball.
Yeah, I watched Logan watch sports. It was really fun. It was better than watching sports, actually.
Right, yeah.
So
Jackie and my father-in-law, which is so funny because my father-in-law was a Titans fan, like surrounded by like 100 Bills fans. He's like, go Titans, and everybody was like
just like with a little flag, just like whee!
No, it was a good time. We went down with myself and my family and like 60 people together from Buffalo that came down to Tennessee to watch the game, and it was great. And you know, Bills won, so it was a big hoo-ah for everyone. It was a good time.
And the Titans, you guys, the Titans totally. What's the phrase? They snatched victory. They snatched defeat from the jaws of victory.
Right, the other way around.
They did. Thank you.
I was just gonna say, you know, you all enjoyed a good vacation, a good break. Because I took some time off over our fall break, which was just a little bit ago, and went down with my partner down to like We flew into New York, but we spent most of the time in New Jersey. I saw some of my grad school friends. Yes. She saw some of her friends from college and stuff. And it was very nice. It was nice to have some time away. First time since training in the beginning of the semester of my institution. So.
Because res life sucks your soul.
Yeah. So it was just like I had to kind of like kick things off for like, you know, the, you know, what, half of August, month of September, then kind of halfway through October. So I had to take that trip. So I was very happy to have that. Certainly one thing that was going on. And, yeah, and I think I've just been keeping on with our podcast.
Over what's up?
Which has been good. We're finishing up season 2. The last episode will air on December 15th, and then we'll be back in January, sort of starting year 3, season 3. Kind of
wow,
just, that's exciting.
Strategize.
Congratulations, that's so exciting.
Hey, Jackie, we're almost to season 2.
That's really exciting.
It makes me feel like it feels more like official in my head.
I was
like,
just about to say, I never thought about that.
Like. Yeah,
two more months. So yeah, like season one was, we'll be there.
Yeah, like for us, like season one wasn't even like a full calendar year. Season 2 is the first full calendar year cycle. So definitely learned a lot from the first kind of, I don't know, 3/4 of a year that we did it, and then improved for year 2, and then keep on keeping on for year 3. And I don't know, it's like 90 episodes is where I'll be ending.
That is so cool.
Feels really good, guys.
That's really awesome. I mean, I feel like Logan and I should be asking you questions. Like, that's why when you were like, I wanted to like pick your brain about podcasting. Logan and I are like,
hi. How do you not let the other person drive you nuts?
Well, see, that's the thing. Is it not like me and Tom have kind of parted ways? He'll do episodes, I'll do episodes. Then we'll sometimes just do episodes with just me talking to him, and then that kind of works. But I think that like part of what's been evolving over time for us is like all like how you all do it, like having multiple people in at once, and that's been sort of like the art of conversation and trying to be like okay, so Jackie, you start and this is the question, and then like, okay, Logan, like I try to like manage it because again, like, you know,
see,
you
do- me, I'm Dustin in the story that Dustin is telling, because I'm the same way. I'm like, we need to have a plan, Logan. And Logan's like, no, we don't. Let's just go with it. So
otherwise, you spend 2 weeks not doing anything.
Basically.
No, so I think, yeah, it's like I try to plan as much as I can. And like, I think that's one way that it's evolved. But I think because what my thought process is that I've done my blog for about, I guess it'll be coming up in April. You know, this upcoming April is like 3 years, but the thought process that I had, I was it's like sort of getting into like a creative drought a little bit, and talked to some fellow higher ed geeks out there to get some more ideas for stuff, and like continually just trying to like collaborate with people and like brainstorm and do that kind of stuff. And it's sort of gotten to my brain to do something similar in the podcasting realm, because I've been thinking of like what could be next, or how could the show evolve, or like could we do more shows or something that have very different feels and that kind of stuff. And also just kind of checking in, because like I don't know, like you're the most similar thing that I have like some connection to, so this is mostly just kind of like talking shop and stuff. And I know
your blog is great. I've been meaning to reach out to you, because I've been admittedly not reading every post because I'm a bad friend, but
you don't have to read it.
No, I'm impressed by your theme. You and Kim White, I'm very impressed by.
I'm the worst blogger on earth.
Yeah, and I like want to be you two, because my blog is like falling apart, and so that's a whole different conversation. But like, your themes are good, and like your consistency with the themes are awesome, because I am not consistent, and that's what I envy. Like you and Kim both keep with your themes every week, and so I think you could. I mean, if that's your question of should I spin my blog into a podcast, I say yes.
Yeah, that's sort of the thought process. Yeah, I might start doing that. But I think that's also like for writing or anything, like there's a certain value in consistency, of course, but also like, I don't know, success is whatever you make of it, sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
I've decided to get back into listening to podcasts. For whatever reason, I just stopped listening for a while. But now I've decided to start discovering new ones. And I think I found like the stupidest, most awesome podcast ever. It's called.
Mortified?
No, it's
that's a good one.
Hello from the Magic Tavern.
I'm intrigued.
It's by Arnie, I forgot his last name, but essentially the premise of the whole story is that here's this podcaster dude, right? He was wandering behind a Burger King and he fell through a dimensional portal into a world that's kind of like Narnia. So it's got like, and he has two hosts, and they host from this town called Hogsface, from the Vermilion Minotaur Tavern. And there's a guy There's a wizard that has a really, really long name. And then there's a talking badger. And they interview people within this magical world of Foon. and I've been trying to, like, I guess since I make a podcast, I try to, how do they do this? Like, what's their thought process behind this? Like, and it looks like they go in with an idea of what they're going to talk about, but they improv the rest. Like, right. It's almost completely improv because they'll just say stupid stuff and then they realize that they've talked themselves into a corner and then someone has, one of the other ones has to save them. And it's pretty good. It's pretty good when you're listening to it just from a thing. Now it's a little not safe for work, but it's hilarious.
Yeah.
I made Marin cringe while we were driving. She's like, "You're letting our 2-year-old listen to this." And I'm like, "I know. Isn't it awesome?"
So. Oh man. Yeah. Well, that's what, like, podcasting is definitely experienced. Like, even obviously they've been around for like a decade now, but like there's is like stuff like that, that is just really like creative, you know,
there's sort
of
a
revitalization of, like, yeah, right. Like the radio plays and that kind of stuff. Like it's storytelling, it's narrative in podcast form. So there's like, you know, obviously Night Vale, I think, probably made that the most popular, but
there's a lot of going back to that old radio days, kind of, you know, with, you know, well-produced sound effects, you know, storytelling, you know, I feel like podcasting is starting to kind of go in that direction. Though there's plenty of stuff like ours, which is like conversations. Conversations, I think, are the most interesting. We actually had someone from StoryCorps on campus the other day, and I had a chance to talk with them. Her name was Eve Claxton. And she kind of reiterated to me why what we do is so important, right? So podcasting in general, or just telling of stories, which is what we do. I mean, that's what we do as a thing, is so much better for people than reading a Wikipedia article or reading a news article or something like that. Because if you actually read to someone like a Wikipedia article or a news article, they don't remember it, not as well as the people who are telling the stories from their point of view. Because when I'm telling you a story or you're explaining something on how you feel about something or something like that, it actually causes neurons to fire in your brain that put you into kind of the experiences that that person is living. So, right? So you talk about something, and I get a picture in my head because I try to imagine myself, you know, in what you're hearing and seeing. So you're actually more likely to remember storytelling in form of audio like this than just reading something off of a Wikipedia article, because you're imagining it. You're putting yourself in the place of the person who's telling the story. And that's what makes StoryCorps so powerful. And that's what they do with, that's why they do what they do. And to me, I was like, wow, what we're doing is actually kind of important. We're documenting what people, the lives of people in higher education, kind of like StoryCorps, but not really, because there's a lot more beer jokes and stuff. But, but you know, it really is. I mean, audio is so powerful. It's such a powerful tool. Like I was watching Frontline, or listening to the Frontline podcast today, and on the way home from work, there's one on the Lockerbie, like, Pan Am bombing. And I actually preferred listening to it than watching it on TV. I came home and I turned on the TV and, you know, flipped it to the PBS app and watched it, but was like, actually, I got more out of this as audio because I can do stuff and listen to it at the same time and get the, I don't need to watch it. Yeah. Watching it doesn't tell me anything. It doesn't show me anything.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because a lot of times sometimes it's like distracting from the narrative or what somebody's saying and that kind of stuff. Because I'll do like, yeah, sort of like mindless stuff like wash the dishes or something when I have a podcast on. Right. It's like, that's like, it's, yeah, it's just almost like a kind of more of a one-to-one connection stuff. But
I feel like we're going back in time to like, like,
because it's like now it's just like, it's, yeah, it's the same thing, but it's just on demand. Like, right. I don't have to listen to it when it's on, I can listen to some like radio play whenever I want to from 3 years ago or something, or, you know. And, you know, that kind of stuff. And yeah, and like, and then like, because I think what radio does well too, because it's so like portable, is that I can just like whip a mic out, and like you're saying, like I can literally hear the voice of somebody like on the ground. I don't need to like, well, let me set up the lighting for this shot and make sure I get a thing or whatever. Right. It's like, you can just like, all right, here you go, talking to this and like, okay, tell me what's going
it's
on.
It's far more intimate, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Though, you know, I hardly ever watch TV anymore, even though I just bought a new Apple TV that will be here next week.
Well, that'll help you watch TV more.
No, right? Not next week. It'll be here on Friday.
There you go.
So yes. Excited. Get to talk to my TV.
Yeah. That's something that I want to do. Like, actually, this is a very good question because as of the recording of this, Tuesday, the 27th of October, the episode of our podcast, me and Tom talked about the future. And he framed this question in a very interesting way because we recorded that episode on Back to the Future Day. So it was like a very timely discussion. Two things that make you feel like you're in the future. Two things that you wish were here that should be in the future. Should the future.
Dustin, without meaning to, was giving me a live long and prosper kind of thing.
Yeah. So two things that make you feel like you're in the future, two things that you feel like we should have by now because we're in, quote unquote, the future. Mm. So I was saying like things that make it feel like the future is just like the cloud and like the Internet of Things. And like I think we mentioned like 3D printing and just like the possibility of that. And yeah, like those are some of the things that we mentioned. And I don't want to spoil it.
This is a big teaser for your podcast.
When does it go out?
Yeah, I also don't want to like control the groupthink here of your answers. Okay. So
when is your podcast going out? Just curious. When will that one air?
That episode will be out tomorrow, October 27th. So, but depending on when this one goes out,
it'll go out by Thursday.
Yeah, so it'll be available.
It already came out, guys. Go listen to it.
So you can get our full conversation. But I'm interested for each of you. You can maybe do one from each category or just where your brain's at. What makes you feel like you're in the future? What do you think we should have had by now because we're in the future?
I think my Apple Watch does, and I will explain for a couple of reasons. So I was, I had to go into like a hardware store the other day, and it was just to get a key copied. It was very quick. So I ran in the store and I realized I left my phone in the car. And like a great millennial, I did not immediately go back to the car to get the phone. I like decided I would live without it for the 2 minutes it was going to take me to copy this key. So I was in the store, waiting to get my key copied. And I felt my wrist start to vibrate, if you will, because I was wearing my Apple Watch. And I realized that it was my phone ringing. And my phone was all the way in the car. And I was like, wow, I didn't even need my phone anymore. Like, I was so
far. As long as you're in Bluetooth range.
Yeah, and I was in Bluetooth range. And like, it blew my mind for a little bit. I was like, wow, I could literally answer this call. And then, of course, the cashier guy was like, is that an Apple Watch? And I was like, it is. He's like, oh. I was like, yeah, I just got a phone call. He's like, and you didn't answer it? And I was like, well, not in public with you, sir, standing in front of me. Like, I'm not going to talk on my wrist. But yeah, it was the coolest thing. That, like, blew my mind. And I think at this point, I would want a faster train. I don't know why we don't have faster trains.
Because we're in America and we like cars.
And also the infrastructure of this country was built in, like, the 1950s.
Trains moved to Japan.
Well, okay, that was a very practical answer to my, like, very clearly poorly thought-out response to why don't I...
Get out of here, Jack! You don't know what you're talking about!
I clearly failed this test.
We should definitely have faster trains.
I don't know why our trains are so slow.
It's kind of a buzzkill.
Well, for me, with the in the future... This watch actually has a little bit to do with that too. I'm not going to cheat. Mine's different.
Stole my answer.
No, mine's a little different. So there was this infographic that came out a few weeks ago or a few months ago that showed the levels of computing power over the last few years. It kind of was a great example of Moore's law, that technology will double, blah 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 blah. So anyway, my Apple Watch, right, is as powerful as an iPhone 4S, which is like, okay, well, an iPhone 4S, that's fine, cool, whatever. Until you think how powerful an iPhone 4S is, going back to, Back to the Future time, the most powerful computer of that day was a Cray 2 supercomputer, right? Carl Sagan wrote about it in Contact. Like, it was the computer that scientists used to discover the mysteries of the universe. It's less powerful than my Apple Watch.
Yep.
And it was the size of a floor of a building.
Yeah.
And that was 20 years ago.
Yeah, you know, 30 years ago. Hard disks, floppy disks, and stuff. Floppy disks.
Yeah, I know what a floppy disk is.
Yeah, no, you don't. You don't know what a floppy disk is. A floppy disk was the big 5 1/8 inches, whatever how big it was, that actually flopped when you flopped it. That was a floppy disk.
I guess I don't know what a floppy disk is.
The other thing, too, is this thing. This thin little thing.
For listeners that cannot see what's happening, Logan is holding up an iPad Air.
An iPad 2, an iPad Mini 4, actually.
Sorry, iPad Mini 4.
Beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
The angels are singing, guys.
It's everything. Like, mostly everything I need for the internet is on this thing. And it's always connected to the internet. I can be driving down the road.
And not using it
in the passenger seat. I'm in the just passenger reading a book. Seat right now.
I can watch Netflix while I drive, guys.
Yeah.
Well, Simon uses it to watch Netflix while we're driving to school.
Yeah.
Good, because Simon's not driving the car.
Right.
Yet.
But, you know, I plug my phone into my car and it's like it pops up all my apps and I can do stuff. So it's pretty awesome. So that's future. Yep.
That literally makes you feel like you're in the future when you compare to, like, you know, previous times and stuff. I'm just like, this is literally, like, this has changed. And, they, like, we are in the future of what, like, if people thought back to 30 years, you know, 30
My
years
car's
ago.
CD player is a box in the glove compartment. Like, they hid it. Like, it's impossible to put a CD into it because you don't need to anymore because it all is on my phone.
It seems like that design is just like somebody who's just like, we got to put it in there. It's like, nobody's gonna use it. It's like, put it in the glove box, just because it's like I could literally have like pretty much like all of every type of music in my phone, like you're saying. Again, like the storage of, like, you know, several gigs worth of things, you know, 32 gigs on a phone, and it's like, how much music could be on it? Like, so much, like thousands.
My first computer had 750 megabytes on the hard drive, and I thought that was a lot. And my iPhone has 64 gigabytes. I mean, we're talking like 70 times the amount of space on something like 1% of the size. It's just crazy. Of course, that's going to end pretty soon because physics, but you know.
Yeah. So that's how we feel like for you, that's like we are in the future because of, you know, super thin computing and like all that stuff. What should we have by now? What are you mad we don't have yet?
Is world peace a cheap answer?
Yes.
Well, see, that's what's funny, and again, because people can go back and listen, but we just said strictly technology things.
I know, we only talked about tech.
Well, no, and it was the same thing when we talked about, because again, it was sort of like the group thing that we got into, but then we did like do an asterisk, like, yeah, we didn't talk about any like social issues at all, like world hunger or world peace. We're like, you have like the honorable answer of like, yeah, I think we should have solved like war by now, right, guys? And it's like, we should have.
Well, technology is going to be the ultimate answer to war.
Yeah.
I think in part, though, is because you recorded it on Back to the Future Day, and that was centered around, well, the Mets winning, the Cubs winning. and the DeLorean and the floating thing. So it was all technology based. So you already set up to fail at that point, really.
Thank you for getting me out of that one.
Well, there are some things in Back to the Future we have.
Mm-hmm.
There's all these articles on it. I'm sure we'll have a bunch of them to show.
Yeah.
People wrote a bunch of articles.
It's very interesting, because a lot of times the viewpoints of the future, because I love a good sci-fi flick, and like very reflective of the time that they came from, and Back to the Future, I don't know what their batting average was, but I feel like they're fairly accurate, but it was still like a very 80s future. it was very much of its time.
Biometrics was a thing, like getting into your, maybe not getting into your house with your fingerprint, but I can log into my everything with my fingerprint. Mm-hmm. And I pay for stuff with my fingerprint.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited to see, you know, our version of Back to the Future. Like, we have so many shows about the future.
I'm sure they'll reboot it and ruin it sometimes.
No, I don't mean like an actual Back to the Future. I mean, there's so many movies that are set, quote, in the future. You know, we do the same thing. We just don't make it about traveling to the future. We just set it as the future.
Well, can I be honest, Jackie?
Sure, Logan.
Are there any sci-fi flicks that you've seen beyond, I don't know, Star Trek where we live in a happy utopian future where we're all friends. And
I'm looking at a technology and like lifestyle standpoint. I'm not talking about social issues right now.
Yeah. Oh, I'm talking like Hunger Games, dystopian future.
Well, like, okay, let's talk about the technology there. They can control weather. They can, you know what I mean? Like, there's these little things that, but maybe that is the future.
It's
maybe
all about control.
Can put the people in the dome and can, sorry, I'm going to spoil the Hunger Games, but.
I think it's pretty spoiled by this point.
Yeah.
The one movie hasn't come out yet.
Yeah. Oh, but well, yeah, the final one, November. If we were able to get outside of ourselves and like get meta about our views of the future, like there's probably a lot of themes. Cause the 80s, like I just watched 3 out of the 4 Mad Max movies over the weekend, and it was, they remained in the 80s.
Dystopian future.
Yeah, like it was like the 80s was a very dystopic future viewpoint. Like it was all wasteland ravaged by nuclear war and robots overthrowing, you know, humans and that kind of stuff. And like ours is like, yeah, it's a lot about control and power and like losing our humanity and like machines and all that kind of stuff. And like
it seems to be a sort thing of reflection with sci-fi.
Yeah. That's what I love about it. Is that like it by its very nature like zooms into like deep societal issue, like Star Trek. It is sometimes frustrating because you need conflict in any story for there to be like some sort of, you know, compelling narrative. But
that's why you've got the Klingons.
Yeah, like the Romulans or the Klingons, they like sort of embodied the other, or, you know, the Cold War was very much like Next Generation and like, you know, the Federation.
Well, the Romulans the Klingons were always Russia. I mean, that was the point, which is why in the Next Generation, you know, we're past the Cold War. Russia is not a threat anymore. In fact, they're our friends. You know, it actually worked out pretty well. But what's funny is that it came back around. They became the enemy again by like Deep Space Nine. And now we're back to the same kind of, we're coming back to the same kind of adversarial kind of situation with Russia as it is now. So it's very, Star Trek's always been a really, except for the J.J. Abrams action movies, has always been a really good, like, it's supposed to be a metaphor for the way things are right now. And that's how science fiction is it gives us a chance, I guess, to fast forward into what we think the future might be. Hope it's not the Hunger Games.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Twilight. If it became Twilight, we're in bad shape.
Vampires would just come out of nowhere.
I would say either way, I'm probably going to end up dying very early on. Like, I wouldn't do well in the Hunger Games, and I don't think I would do well with vampires. So,
don't worry, they sparkle in the sunlight.
Yeah, it'd be easy to find them. Because I mean,
you guys look attractive.
You had to have some type of like dystopic thing, like zombies or vampires. Like, they have a formula of how to fight them. You know, like you'd know
that's
that.
Fair. Hunger Games.
That's what I. So I found this new series that I like a lot. iZombie on the CW, and I kind of fallen in love with it.
I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, it's,
I haven't watched it yet, but I've heard good things.
The second season has a like 100% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Nice.
That's hard, but it's a good show.
Yeah, maybe I'll check it out. Maybe the audience will check it out, because I watch Arrow and Flash on the C-dubs.
It's also a DC, like iZombie's a DC too. It's a comic book.
It's a comic book inspired.
I am excited about Jessica Jones though.
Oh yeah.
The new Marvel coming out on the Netflix.
Yes. We'll have Daredevil season 2 soon.
Yes.
Ant-Man was good. I watched that. I was good. Like, it's all good stuff.
It's always these happy good things. About the future. See, Marvel's future is always an interesting hodgepodge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, will we be able to fly? I don't know.
I sure hope so. Well,
I can't wait for that.
Like to teleport, if I could have any choice in the matter, I would.
Teleport would be nice.
Yeah.
Teleport would be nice. I got to this
point. Like, could be awkward, though.
Yeah. Like I said, depending on how fine tuned I could teleport.
Right.
And how it all works. But, because it was a very logical conversation. Is that like, cause everybody likes to, you know, you go for like, what do you wish your superpower was? Everybody goes with flying because, yeah, like, who wouldn't want to fly? But logically, teleporting makes me more sense because basically flying is just an efficient form of travel. You don't have to worry about traffic, but
exactly.
I could just teleport somewhere. Bam, I'm there.
Yeah. That's why. See, that's why I love Star Trek. Is you have the transporters. You can just go from point A to point B in 5 seconds, as opposed to flying.
You have to get a shuttle down to the planet. It's like, no, just like teleport me down there.
In the original Star Trek, that's what they were originally going to do. And then Gene Roddenberry was like, well, I don't want to shoot a bunch of shots of people getting in and out of a shuttlecraft.
Yeah.
Enterprise is a great example of why that did not work. So let's have transporters. It's so much better.
Yeah. Why don't we have teleporter? Like,
I would want the ability to fly and then them to invent transporters. So like, maybe my transporter does not get me like exactly where I need to be. Maybe I'm like 50 miles out. Who cares? I can just fly those 50 miles.
You're probably more likely to get a transporter than fly.
Best of both worlds.
Because in theory, that's an episode of Next Generation. In fact, it's probably one of the best. But anyway, best of both worlds. But anyway, transporters actually, in theory, are something that could actually work. Because matter can be converted to energy. And it's just converting it back to matter.
Yeah.
That's the tough part.
It's like, oh, now I'm just in the air.
I'm just floating.
Yeah.
I think the quantum states of all of your...
Is there somewhere I can check on my license? Like, you know, you can donate your organs. Like, if I can donate, like, my energy to be turned into... Or my matter to be turned into energy. That'd be fun.
Well, you could always just jump into a star or something.
Yeah.
I was going to do that the other day.
That'd be the way that you die somehow. I don't know. Just like
jump into a star. Yeah. That's
like you're in like a
and actually that battle. Wouldn't even like, convert right, you completely it. To energy. You would still be mostly matter, just kind of burnt.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you'd be vaporized. How's that?
Well, good thing you warned me because that was my afternoon plan for tomorrow was to go star jumping. So
that off the list.
Guess I'm not going.
Be a hell of a way to go.
Curious, like, I think every Star Trek series is on Netflix. I need to watch Deep Space Nine. I need to watch all that. It's like upping my geek cred. More Star Trek is always good.
Deep Space Nine is my favorite. It is the deepest. It is the deepest Star Trek.
The deepest space of the nine. It's just.
I say it's the deepest in that it is the most human, right?
Yeah.
Not the shiny pearly Starfleet officer that you see. Like in Picard or Riker or Data or even Kirk is not existent on Deep Space Nine. There's a lot more shades of gray. I mean, the captain starts out. It's like the most three-dimensional. How's that? There's the most character development.
Yeah.
I mean, the captain starts out as a widower. He watches his wife die, and he's left raising his teenage son. And he goes through a transformation of sorry, sad for himself, depressed guy to leader, to being promoted to captain, to becoming a religious icon, leading a war, and then making the ultimate sacrifice. Like, it's just really good. I love Captain Sisko. He's my favorite captain.
Yeah. Anyway. I've been willing to, like, I think that's probably one of my problems. I know I want to watch Deep Space Nine, but I've, like, I don't know how you guys feel about that, like, where you're at in the spectrum. But I just have not been able to, like, commit to a new television series lately. I've just been, like, rewatching all my old favorites. Watching, like, new movies, but, yeah, I don't know. It's, like, it's hard to commit to a new series.
I go to a Mexican restaurant. I don't want to try anything different. I want to eat what I like.
That's a terrible metaphor for that.
No, it's not. It's a perfect metaphor.
It is.
Mexican restaurants.
I go to McAllister's, and I don't want anything different than my Spud Max because I just don't want to try anything else.
I don't know what any of those words mean that you just said.
Yeah, it was just a lot of...
Those are a lot of things I don't...
I assume Spud Max because it's like McAllister's. There's got to be some play on... Like,
I don't know what those things are.
A Spud Max is a loaded baked potato with ham and turkey... and melted cheese, chives, butter, sour cream, bacon, and olives if you want them. And I don't get olives, so
a lot going on there.
It's amazing, and it's also like very large. It's like a 3-pound like potato.
Oh man,
it's amazing.
That's intense.
It's about as long as my iPad, and about you know, it's amazing.
That's
so much starch, so much cholesterol.
An iPad for dimensions and stuff. Yeah.
Well, it's the only thing I've got right here, okay?
Banana for scale, it should be. Yes, banana. Like banana for scale.
Cool. I guess we should like wrap it up because now we're talking about the movie. Thanks, Dustin, for joining us this week. Head down to higered.social to get links to things we talked about today and subscribe to our podcast there or on iTunes or pretty soon on Stitcher as well. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at HES Podcasts and send us a tweet. We love talking to you.
And of course, subscribe to Dustin's podcast as well. Dustin, you're welcome to promo it.
Student Affairs Spectacular Podcast. You can find it on iTunes and Stitcher, and just check out Student Affairs Collective for a bunch of other cool stuff.
It's super sweet.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Bye.